Hi, you're listening to a message from Forward Church. We hope this message will inspire and empower you to move forward.
One of my favourite little stories, and for the sake of time, we don't have to go there. It's from the book of Philemon, or Philemon, depending which school you went to. Philemon sounds better. Philemon, short little book, just before the book of Hebrews. Paul writes a letter to a man called Philemon, who was a rich man but a Christian. And he writes a letter to give it to a man called Onesimus. Say Onesimus. Onesimus' name in Greek means useful. There was one problem, though, with him. He was a runaway slave. He ran away from Philemon. But, you know, sometimes you and I can run away. Some of us can cross the Tasman. Some of us can cross the oceans, running away from something or someone or some whatever, but we run right into the arms of somebody who's carrying the gospel of grace. And you see, Onesimus ran straight into Paul, the Apostle Paul. And of course, he was converted. And he stayed with Paul. But Paul knew something. He knew that this man did not belong to him, that he really belonged to Philemon. So Paul writes a letter to Philemon, pleading that he receive this man Onesimus. Onesimus, the one who had run away, probably stolen something. We pick that up because later on, Paul says, if he has taken anything from you, charge it to my account. And I want to share just on that little verse, that one verse this morning. You see, Paul is writing to a slave owner. And in those days, somebody who'd run away from their master could have been punished, possibly to death. But he's appealing to him now as a Christian brother. Philemon, the master, is a Christian. Onesimus, the slave, is a Christian. Paul is a Christian. And so Paul writes this beautiful letter, making an appeal to receive him not as a slave, but as a brother. Coming back from Thailand, you have time sometimes in the hurly-burly. You don't process everything. But coming back, we realized that these people, Muslim people, Buddhist people, who have given their lives to Christ, are now our brothers and sisters. And I reckon we've got to see our community, we've got to see our family as being brothers and sisters in Christ, even before the bloodline says they are a brother or a sister. Because this is the recognition that heaven brings. The day is going to come in heaven when we will not see what culture we came from. We will just see brothers and sisters who are worshiping the Lord forever. And I reckon this side of heaven is a dress rehearsal. This side of heaven, the church, is designed to demonstrate this. And so Paul, in his cry, is saying to this man Onesimus, receive him as a brother. And then he says, by the way, if he has taken anything, if he owes you anything, put it on my account. And I thought about this. You see, for you to meet somebody that is in trouble, we may well be able to say, well, they got themselves into that trouble. They can get themselves out of that trouble. You've heard the saying, they made the bed, you lie in it. You know, your fault, okay. But I am so thankful that that is not the definition of godly grace. My mum used to say that God helps those who help themselves. But when you think about it, if you can help yourself, you don't need God. The reality is, you see, we all need him, even if in our pride we think we don't. And Paul, who was one of the most proudest men, perhaps, of his day, because he said, I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. He knew his genealogy. He knew where he came from. He was hot. He was somebody who really knew, you know, what was going on in the house. He knew who he was. But then he gets knocked off his horse. He gets knocked off his horse. And so, you know, this fall that he has is the beginning of his conversion. And then he discovers the power of grace. And later on, Paul wrote of himself, he said, I was a blasphemer. In fact, he said, I was the chiefest of sinners. I was the worst of the lot. Now, it's not that your sin is worse than the sin of the person next door to you, but what he was saying was, I see in the light of God's grace how far away I was from him. You see, where sin abounds, grace is much more. Grace is the antidote to sin. It's heaven's antidote. And so I want to share this morning just on the gratitude of grace. Because when we have gratitude for what he has done, it shifts our perspective about people around us. It changes our view as to whether we think we've been hard done by or not, whether we think things are fair in life or unfair. All of that goes out the window. Because Paul could have said, this man, Onesimus, give him his punishment. But he didn't. He said, whatever he owes, put it on my account. Let me say something about your account. Your account has already been paid for, whether you know it or not, by Jesus Christ. Your account has been paid fully by him. And when he came and he said, it is finished, what he meant there was everything that was necessary for your account to be cleared by heaven was done. He never died 1 second before he was due to die. By the way, the devil didn't take his life. He gave up his spirit. He gave up his spirit. The devil thought he'd taken his life, but actually he voluntarily gave his spirit back to his Father. That's very important. See, he finished in the fullness of the course of heaven's plan for the redemption of every sinner, past, present, and future. Wow. And you see, Paul knew this. Paul had received the grace of God. And you can only pass forward, friend, what you've received. See, if I hold out against somebody, it's because I haven't received everything from the Lord. Does that make sense? It's like a divine relay race. Di, if you could come, please. She's the runner. You're over there. Okay? I'm the walker. This microphone represents the baton. It represents the baton of grace. Now, here's the deal. She's ready, you see. She's ready. By the way, if she gets past the block, she's disqualified. Or if she drops a baton, she's disqualified. Okay? So here we go. Here we go. I have received the grace of God. My job now is not just to hold it for me, but my job is to carry it, and pass it forward. Get moving. High jump the drums. Yeah, thank you. Now, just stay there for a sec. Now, some of us, and Paul could have done this Onesimus fella. No, I'm not passing it forward. Thank you, love. You can sit down now. But he didn't. He chose to pass forward the same grace that he had received. And here's a thing. This is a fascinating thing. Why do we withhold grace? We withhold it as if it's ours. It's not ours. It's his. You remember those hot summer days, and we're getting some now, and you turn the hose on, and you turn the tap, and you hit everybody, spray everybody, and then you stand on the hose or you bend the hose. I used to love doing it as a kid. Bend the hose. Somebody walk past. You let it go again. And they get saturated. They get soaked. Ooh, good game. Now, the thing is, some of us bend the hose as if the water supply is ours to control. It's not mine to control. The hose is designed to let the water out. You and I have been saved by the grace of God to let his grace go through us and out the other end. Come on, you can clap. Yeah. Cheer. This is being recorded, you know, it's very important. You see, Paul had gratitude, and I want to have that gratitude for his grace. Therefore, not to withhold it from anyone. If I've been totally forgiven, I pass total forgiveness forward. If I have received mercy, then I pass mercy forward. By the way, mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what heaven says we can have. And it's a subtle difference. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So subtle, I trip over myself. I want to say a second thing about grace. Staying in grace for yourself. You know, if you've received a promise from God, you hold on to that promise, amen? You have gratitude for the word of God. You have gratitude for his promises to you. So, here's a promise. For you and your household to be saved. You may be the only one who is currently saved. Or you may be the minority in your household. Don't pause, hit the pause button. You keep confessing, my God, you've saved me, and therefore you will save my household. And when I read the book of Acts, I find that whole households got saved. One of the things we love about Thailand is that when people get saved, particularly hill tribe people, when they get saved, sometimes it's a long time sowing. But when that doorkeeper gets saved, everybody in the house gets saved. When the witch doctor gets saved, the whole village gets saved. Spiritual powers are broken. And there's an openness. I could tell you story after story about that, where whole villages, whole communities get saved. You see, this is the intent of the Word of God. It's not just for the few, it's for the all. And so we have to have a mentality. This grace is not my grace, it's His grace. The promise that came from God, I didn't earn it, I don't deserve it, but I receive it. I receive it, and I'm going to pass it forward. And why not pass it forward this Christmas together with a gift? I get very few opportunities, so I'm in. You know, those that receive the promise actually enter into the land. And I haven't got time, but you can read the story of the 12 spies that were sent into the land of Canaan in Numbers chapter 13. God prefaced it before they went in. He said, I am giving you the land. The sad thing about that story is that 10 of those 12 spies brought back a bad report. And they said dumb things like, we are like grasshoppers in their sight. I've often thought about that. Did they go up to the big giants and they didn't say, excuse me, what do you think of me?
You're a grasshopper.
They didn't do that. No, the grasshopper mentality came in their mind. And they let fear rob them of the very promise that God had already told them. And sometimes we have to be on guard for that. The enemy will try to rob you from your mind, within your mind, not to receive, or you're not worthy, or you know, it's not yet, not the time. You see, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. And maybe you're here this morning. And maybe you're thinking, well, is this right? Am I ready? No, today is the day of salvation. My question is, what are you waiting for? Why wait? Why wait? When the scripture is actually designed and grace is designed to fit you perfectly like a glove on your hand. Designed to fit you perfectly. Grace is designed for every sinner to wear. That's it. And because we get possessed and obsessed with our own thoughts and our shortcomings and this and that. But in fact, what we were made to is to receive the fullness of what Christ has done. Amen. Amen. So stay in the promises of God. Be grateful for the church. Be grateful that this church preaches grace, the gospel of grace. That it's not about me trying to straighten myself up or straighten myself out like my parents used to think. That's how we were brought up. They realized it was a dead, lost job trying to straighten me out. And eventually they got straightened out. The grace of God straightened them out, as the same grace straightened me out and continues to do so. And so have gratitude about the church. You see, it's not my church either, it's His church. Is there an amen?
Amen.
Be grateful that we're part of the church. And again, you only have to go to an overseas place to see what people don't have, and yet they receive with gratitude the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very humbling. It's very humbling to see this. You know, as Kevin, my good friend, who's still over there, he said, I have more money in my back pocket than a lot of these people would have in a year. Now, he's not bragging, and it's very humbling, he said, to receive from them. Be grateful for the church. And the last point I want to make, and this is a beautiful scripture, in Isaiah 12, verse 3. It tells us in this version, with joy you will drink from the fountain of salvation. Or dig in your own well. Dig from your own well for your own salvation. There's joy that comes from that, digging from that well. I just want to share one story as I close here. A person we've known for nearly 20 years in Thailand is a tribal man. Comes from a Karen tribe on the border of Burma. And I've been over there as Diane was preaching. I was scuttling out interviewing people for another book, just stories. And this is part of his story. This man came from spirit worship. Spirit worship means they worship the spirits in a tree. They're animists, okay? Not Buddhists, they're animists, okay? And ruled by sorcery, ruled by fear, ruled by hopelessness. But one day, Nook had a vision. These people are illiterate, largely illiterate. God speaks to them in visions and dreams. And he had a vision. He said, I saw a tree like a cross. And he realized that this was not from him, not because of something he'd eaten, but it came from God. And so he followed that up. He began to find out a bit more. And he said, and he found out that believers get baptized. I've been to their village. Their water supply comes out of red mud. Red mud. But he was so keen to be baptized. He said, I don't care what it looks like. And he got baptized in red mud. That night, he had another vision. And God showed him clear, clear water that as far as heaven saw, he was baptized in pure, clean water. God spoke to him. And then he began to share that experience with his father. His father did not like Christians. His grandfather was a chief witch doctor, not just for the village, but for the whole region. His grandfather then began to notice that the powers that he used to have weren't as strong as they used to be. See, a few believers, this man and his sister became Christians. And then the father decided that he too would follow. The grandfather then used to come into some meetings and he'd sit up the back just for a few minutes and then he'd walk out. But he realized that his power was being lost. His spiritual hold on people was being lost. The grandfather had his hut was filled with alcohol. His father, by the way, was an opium addict. They lived in terrible, abject conditions. And Nook said he went to see his grandfather. And he said, Grandfather, where's all the alcohol? Grandfather had made a private decision. He decided too to follow after Yeshua. He decided to pour out his alcohol. That same day, 7 whole families in the village came to Christ. 7 whole families. I mean, their families are the size of villages. Right? And today, the whole village is Christian. The whole village is Christian. And this is what he said to me. He said, I'm so grateful for what the Lord has done in my family. He said, my 3 children, who are now young adults, now serve the Lord. He said, I'm jealous of the opportunities they had. He said this with a smile on his face. I'm jealous. because I never had those opportunities. But I'm so pleased that we all know the God who loves us. And friend, this happens in the hill tribes on the borders of Burma. It happens in Laos. It's happening in Kampuchea or Cambodia. It's happening in Indonesia. All over the place, God is speaking to people. He's speaking to Muslims where no preacher has gone. But then, mysteriously, this white man turns up, or this Indonesian turns up who is a believer. And then they get fed. And they start to grow. But they realize salvation that comes by grace is not just for them, but is for everybody in their household. I want to close right now.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like more information, please visit our website, forwardchurch.com.